So apparently, those of us in Durham region don't count. So have fun, the rest of you. If you're new here, whether you're from Durham region or York region or any other region, I always love to enjoy meeting new people, and so we have But First Coffee. We have that every once in a while just for new people. If you've been here, and maybe this might not be your first time, but you're new, I haven't had a chance to meet, just to introduce yourself, for me to put a name and a face together. I'd love to meet you. We have right over at the end of the service, I'll go immediately back to the left-hand back side, and if you're new, just come over and say hi. And enjoy a coffee and with us. I'd love to have the opportunity to meet you. Today is an unusual day for me. I have two messages. One's about 3 minutes, and the other's going to be under 30 minutes, because I kind of went overtime last week, if you were here, and so I don't want to abuse my privilege. So I want to talk first about something I believe, that God laid on my heart to share with you as a church, because there are some women in this in our body or online who God wants to speak to about this issue, and I'm just the voice to share it with you. You know, it strikes me that every once in a while, my responsibility when I'm teaching and preaching is to declare the truth. And the truth can sometimes be hurtful, because especially if we've failed with regard to that truth, we can feel more condemned than hopeful as a result of hearing the truth. And the gospel not only presents the truth, but it presents a way of healing and help. And that's the two-sided nature of grace and truth of Jesus. And so when I'm up here and the topic of abortion comes up, I will say that this is wrong according to Scripture. But what I don't often talk about, and really don't have the time or the ability to, is, but what if you have gone through abortion? What if that's something that happened in your life? Or you're thinking about it. Just to hear it's wrong, yeah, I know that, but what do I do now? And so over the past couple weeks, I keep running into on podcasts and people this understanding that we hear preach Jesus, who is full of grace and truth, and the truth is what awakens us to the reality to know the right direction. The grace is how God absorbs us and loves us and helps us walk that direction. And so I believe that our church, I think God is talking to some, this is why I said a woman or women, who God is saying, I don't want just a pastor who says it's wrong, I want a church who loves the people that are going through it. And so if God is speaking to you about having a ministry, maybe this has been on your heart for a while, you just didn't know what to do about it, it might be that God is speaking to you now as a woman or women who are going to, I ran across this thing called Embracing Grace. I have some resources that I can direct you toward. But I believe that God wants to reach out to women who are considering abortion and feel trapped, and that's the only route. And the reason I say that is in listening to this podcast, it was out of the States, but I think it's probably very similar here, that 25% of women in evangelical churches have an abortion. And so that tells you how difficult the circumstances that they're facing. And so we need to be a place that helps women in our church as they're facing this decision and the circumstances go with it, and to help those who have had an abortion to be freed from Satan's grip and shame and guilt that's on your life, and find out that the gospel is sufficient and able to free you and to heal you and allow you to be a voice for God in your family, in your community, in your church. And so if that's you, you need to come and see me, and I'll help you do what God is wanting you to do. So I leave that with you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I felt very strongly I was supposed to share that message this morning. So let's pray. Jesus, our world can be a very painful, difficult place, and individuals, both men and women, are faced with very difficult decisions and sometimes fail at making the right one. And yet your grace, certainly your cross and your death on the cross and your resurrection, is the hope that we have, that even though we have failed, we can find hope and healing in Christ. And so, Lord, I lay this out here. You do with it whatever you want. If there's somebody you're talking to here or online and they go, wow, God's been speaking to me about this, I pray you give them the courage to take the next step of whatever it is you're calling them to do. I pray you give them the courage to call me and we can begin to see where this goes. And so I just lay this out here. I want to pray for any woman or man that has been part of their life, a decision they made maybe years ago, a decision maybe they're trying to figure out right now, that you would reveal your grace and your hope and your help, and that our love would be so obvious that it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter that you're pregnant and not married. It doesn't matter that you may have had an abortion in the past. The grace of Christ is able to heal and deliver from this sin and help and guide and bring hope. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, we'll see what God does with that. We're in 1 Corinthians. And thankfully, we're in what I would call a more positive chapter. And so Paul kind of switches in chapter 12 to a new topic that he wants to talk about. Now, we have a Tuesday morning men's prayer meeting that all men are welcome to. It's online as well as being in person. We combine them both. But there's one individual in that prayer meeting who, whenever he prays for lost people, almost every time, not every time, but often when he prays for people who are far from God and don't know Jesus as their Savior, he begins to weep while he's praying. And so he prays for specific people that he's reaching out, and then the tears start to come, and he prays, and then he usually has to stop, and we move on, the rest of us thinking, well, clearly we're not very compassionate people because none of us pray, or none of us weep. But I've thought about that and talked about it with some of the other guys, and it just shows that that is that individual's spiritual gift. And through years of practicing that gift, it has so gripped his heart that when he prays about that one thing, about people far from God, he just begins to cry. That's the spiritual gift of evangelism that God has given him. And that's what God does for each of us, not make us weep, but God gives each of us a spiritual gift that is, as we grow, learn it, discover it, and grow it and practice it, it begins to capture us on the inside and make us passionate about the ministry that God has given us so that it drives us. That's the thing we want to do. And it's how God has gifted us to be able to serve him. So in chapter 12, Paul kind of makes his transition now, so new topic, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or the other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. So he doesn't go into it, he just says, when you weren't a Christian, you were being influenced and led to worship. And remember, what's he talking about? Spiritual gifts. And so he says, now therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, at first glance, it seems like what he's saying, You can't say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is within you. And I would say I have watched a lot of individuals lie on TV to get money and say Jesus is Lord. So how does this work? And because it's not saying that the only way a person can say Jesus is Lord is that they're a spirit, is that they have the Spirit in them. What he's saying in the context of spiritual gifts is that if you're using your gift and you're being led by the Spirit, you're not going to curse Jesus. And if you're using your gift and you're led by the Spirit, you're going to lift up and exalt Jesus. Now, the reason he's saying that is because they were using their gifts, but they were lifting up and exalting themselves. Which is totally opposite to the purpose of the gift that you have been given. And so he rolls into it. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So stop. There are many different kinds of gifts. In fact, the elders went through a study of this for about 2 years, and we identified 21 different spiritual gifts. If you want that, we're going to soon have that online. We don't yet, but if you're interested in knowing what those gifts are and a definition, just ask info@springvale.org. We'll send you that document. But notice, it's the Spirit that distributes. You don't get to choose your gift. I didn't get to choose my gifts. The Spirit looked at us, and in his wisdom and understanding and goodness, he gives each of us a different gift. Now, some of us have the same gifts. Some of us have the same gifts, but to a different degree. But it's the Spirit that chooses who gets what gift. And let me say a little more personally, the Spirit chose to give you at least one gift. And there are different kinds of service, it's a synonym for the same idea, service, gift, because gifts are meant to be service, but the same Lord. It doesn't matter what gift you have, you have it to exalt and lift up Jesus. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the gift. We use our gift, whatever that gift is, one of those at least 21, we use it for exalting Jesus, and God works in us in a peculiar, specific way when we use the gift. And the better we get, all gifts must be developed. The better we get at the gift, the more the Spirit is able to use us if our heart is right in using it. And that's what he's first going to deal with. Now he goes on to say, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, let me just stop here for a second. There's moments sometimes in your life that kind of are marquee moments, and this is one of them. I don't know why, but it's one of them. I think I've shared this with you before. I was a senior pastor of a church in Strathroy. It was July. We were running day camp. I walked into my office, and right off to the side, there was this little office with a chair in it and a desk, and as I walked by, I saw Mariska there, and I said, oh, hey, Mariska, what's up? And she looked at me with this guilty, guilty look. And it kind of struck me strange, because nothing I could tell should be making her feel guilty. And she said, she just came out and said, you know, it's day camp, but I don't really like teaching and working with kids. Now, she had 2 kids in day camp, but she said, I don't really like doing that, and so I just come here and volunteer to look after the money for the camp and kind of the organization. And I said, so you have the gift of helps. And I said, I don't like working with kids either. The last thing I'm ever going to be out is working with kids. Somebody's going to die. And because I'm 6'4", not likely me, it's going to be, and then, you know, we got a whole problem. So the church just feels it's better. And you just don't work with kids. You just do other work. And I said to her, I was joking around with her like that. And I said, I don't, and she had a funny look. And I said, well, that's your spiritual gift. And she still had this funny look on her face. And I said, I went to this chapter and I said, do you realize that God has given you a spiritual gift? And that gift is where he wants you to function. And so if it isn't teaching or leading or working with children per se, that maybe your gift is more organizationally focused, and maybe you have the gift of helps, which, by the way, is probably the most common gift of all the spiritual gifts, is the gift of helps. Hey, if you go, I've thought a long time about spiritual gifts, and I have no clue, I just like to help out, you probably got the gift of helps. You just do whatever it takes. There's some people joyful. They'll load chairs. They'll stack chairs. They'll help set things up. They'll drive people. Well, I don't really have any spiritual gift. Yes, you do. It's called helps. Most common gift in the church. And so I was telling her that, and you could see Mariska, her face went from feeling guilty to feeling delighted. Because she learned that, oh, maybe I can serve God this way. And I said, not maybe, that's what God wants you to do. You just never figured out what your gift was. So she went home and never helped out in children's ministry again. See, and that's Paul's point here. It's the gift that you're giving is how you should be serving and learning what that gift. And now to one is the now to each one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, that means if you have confessed your sin and chosen to surrender your life to Christ, believing that his death and resurrection pays for your sins, then you have been given at least one manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Often maybe two more, but at least one is given, and it's given for the common good. It's given not so you can become well-known or well-respected, or you can show your superiority, or you can be, you know, in control. It's not given for that. It's given so that the body of Christ, the church, you serve the church, and that's how you serve Jesus. And so then he lists a number of gifts, which I ask myself, why these gifts? Because there's about 21, but he only lists a few here. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. If you're wondering what they are, the definitions are in that list that we have. By means, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. And so I thought to myself, why does he list those gifts? Well, he lists those gifts because the Corinthians, we know from chapter 14, are really hyped up on this thing called tongues. And they would stand, their church services were very different than ours. They would gather around, there was no pastor up front speaking. They would gather around sitting all together, men on one side, women on the other side. And then people who were moved by the Spirit would stand up and speak. And there were some elders who were responsible, but men and women would say, I've got a message from God. They would stand up, and the elders would determine if that message was indeed from God and put their stamp on it. And then they would worship, and maybe somebody would say, hey, let's sing this song, and they would sing. So if you've ever been to a brethren breaking of the bread service, some of you have no idea what that is, but if you have been, it was very similar to that. And so Paul lists all these gifts, which the notable thing about almost every one of these gifts is that they have a supernatural feel to them. And I think he listed them all to say, hey, not just tongues. Tongues isn't the only gift that clearly has a supernatural feel to it. Here are these other ones. And those of you that are really emphasizing tongues above everything else, you have to realize that the Holy Spirit works in other ways too. So he's working away, trying to erode the false foundation they've built that, hey, look, I speak in tongues. I'm really spiritual. That was the problem in the church. Now, part of the problem we have is we don't have that problem with people standing up speaking in tongues. But we, I think, still have the problem of misunderstanding that God gives many different kinds of gifts, not just a few. And I think we have that accidentally. Because what do you see mostly when you come to church? You see leadership. By the way, didn't the worship team do really well today leading us? Yeah, amen, yeah. But I want to say they're only half of it. It's when we join in. And from what I could hear, you were particularly engaged today. It's when we join together that the worship really is powerful. And life and touch. So thank you for joining in the leadership. That's what you see, the leadership of these people using their talents to serve God. And then you hear somebody get up and preach, and then somebody give an announcement, and you see, oh yeah, they're really good in front of people, but I can't sing, and I can't stand in front of people, so clearly I don't have a gift. But they're just, the way we do our worship services highlights certain gifts. But other than the three I mentioned, there are like 18 other spiritual gifts mentioned in Scripture. And so we can accidentally think that, oh, I don't have the gift to stand up in front of people, I'm not gifted. But the truth of the matter is, there is far more ministry that happens behind the scenes. Gifts of compassion, gifts of mercy, gifts of intercession, gifts of giving, gifts of organizing, administration. These kinds of gifts that are happening behind the scenes so this can happen. Do you know, I think probably as many people that are up front are behind the scenes so that we can have this service happening and we can broadcast and send it out on YouTube. And then not to mention the children's ministry that's happening right now, not to mention the youth ministry, not to mention with our harvest ministry, not to mention our harvest market, not to mention, like, there's all these kids' jammers and the beautiful mess, and there's these ministries that are happening that would be behind the scenes, people using spiritual gifts that the Spirit has given to you so that you can care for people, maybe not 500, 600 at a time, but 1 or 2 or 5 or 6 at a time. It's funny what happens sometimes. This week, as I was preparing to preach this sermon, Crystal and I were talking. I said, I am so thankful for Jennifer Simcoe. Now, Jennifer Simcoe's on our office staff. And I said, you give her something, it is always done. You don't have to check back with her. You don't have to wonder if it's done. I mean, you give it to her, it's locked in the vault and done. And I said that because about 18 months ago, this is just one example of how she functions. So I gave her, I said, you know what? I saw this idea of a board, and it's kind of like just a board about so high, and on it is, it's like invite people to church, and then there's an invite. And I described it to her, and she said, okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll create something and show you. And so she created it. You have seen it as you walk out the south doors. It's right in front of the doors. Oh, it is? Yes, it is. It is there now from time to time. So she created this thing, and I'm like, that is perfect. That is better than the thing I was thinking about. And I said, but I don't want to leave it always out there because it becomes like furniture, and you know what it is with furniture. You don't notice it anymore. So I said about 8 times a year, put it out for 2, maybe 3 week stints and then pull it in. That was 18 months ago. About 2 months ago, I thought, so I haven't thought about it for 18 months, 16 months. And I thought, I wonder what's happening with that welcome board that has the invites on it. And I knew better than to say, I'll bet you Jennifer forgot it. So I knew better than that. So I emailed, because Jennifer's smarter than I am, so she didn't forget about it. She's differently gifted. And so I emailed her and said, hey, what's been happening with that board? She goes, she sends me back. Over the last 18 months, here's the dates that it has been out. Here's the number of cards that have been taken. And here's the dates going forward that it will be out. Now, if I had been responsible for that, that would have been out once or twice. Then it would have been in a storeroom for 18 months until somebody said, whatever happened to that welcome board there? It's coming. I would have totally forgotten about that. And Jennifer, most of you don't even know who she is. And she, you know the Chinese circus where the guy comes out and he's got the pole and spins the plates? She can spin 100 plates. Now, most of us can spin 5, 6. And then because if you don't keep spinning them, then they start to wobble and fall, right? That's the whole thing. And she spins, I don't know how she does it. Well, yes, I do. The Holy Spirit has given her the gift of administration, which is a gift that Romans tells us about. And she has used that gift for so many years, she is now exceptional with that gift. And if it weren't for her, I don't think I'm exaggerating. Hundreds of things wouldn't happen. But you'll never see her up here. You'll never see her preaching. You'll never see her teaching. She usually serves, almost always serves behind the scenes, because that's where she's comfortable. And yet her gift is so important to us as a body. And I would say, so is yours. So is yours. And so here in this passage, so chapter 12, 13, and 14 are all about dealing with spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, the love chapter, that the only time we ever hear about it is weddings, is really not about weddings. It's about love, but it's not about weddings. It's about how you use your spiritual gift. So the rest of chapter 14 is Paul saying, he uses this illustration of the body. He goes, would you cut off any part of your butt? No, are you kidding me? Yeah, but you don't really need that baby finger. Cut it off. No, yeah, you're protected. And so some things are more evident, the face. Some things are covered over and treated with modesty, but we still value them. Paul says, in fact, those things which are more modest on our body get more attention and more care. And he said, so it is with the body. The gifts that are up front and everybody sees are not any more important than the ones that are quietly working in the scene. And then he says in chapter 13, by the way, when you I'm going to show you a better way. A better way to what? Use your gift. And he said, use it out of love, because all the gifts that are given will eventually end. They all end when we see Christ, when we're in his presence. But for now, you use your gift in love to service other people, not to promote yourself or to control the body. Now you think about how hard that is when you're as gifted as some of our worship people. How do you use a gift that in our culture gets huge attention and kudos, but to use it not for me and not to put myself forward, but to use it to care for and serve the body? Well, you should hear the prayer that goes on in the back. Almost every week, God, use us to serve people. Help us to lead people. Help us to show them toward you, because the focus is Jesus. And that's what Paul is trying to work at. He's saying, you guys have really focused on your spiritual gifts, some of you, to make yourself known and to have control in the body and to come across as super spiritual. But love says you use your gift to serve others. And so I would say, you are gifted. The Holy Spirit has given you a gift. You're to use it to exalt Jesus and serve him by serving his body. God will work in you when you use it, but some of you don't use your gifts. Now that should be a bit of a slap in the face. Or a shake. Eh, slap in the face, not the right metaphor. It's a little shake. Oh. How are you using your gifts that God has given you to invest in other people's lives? You know if you're using them. You can point to a time and a place where you go and serve. You may not know what the gift is. Well, I didn't know the gift of helps was a gift. I just showed up and help all the time. You may not know exactly what the gift is, but you can point to a time and place where you go, this is where I go and serve Christ and his body. So, I told you I would end early and not abuse your time, and so I'm going to, but I'm going to end with going, well, if I wanted to discover my gift, how would I do that? And I would say the best, like we have gift tests you can take online and all that, but that, I don't think, they kind of give you some insight, but they're better for people once they're down the road. So if you're going, I don't know what my gift is, or you're new here and you're not sure where to get connected. So Andrea just said, well, let me give you the illustration. It's like learning to swim. So when I learned to swim, my mom sent me in the summer, and when I was growing up in PEI, she sent me to the Red Cross boating and swimming instruction. So you'd spend time at a pool learning swim, then you'd go learn how to boat. And now that I'm a parent, realize that was just a full morning my mom was free from me. And that's why I went. And she said, because you need to learn to swim. And it wasn't. It wasn't that at all. It was she needed peace of mind. And so all four of us were sent off. And so the first thing I remember is I didn't know how to swim. So they threw me in the deep end. No, they didn't do that. They let me get in the shallow end. There was both a pool and there was a place near the ocean where we went in. And so we were only as a class, we were only allowed in the shallow end and with the teacher. And at the ocean, we were only allowed to go so deep before we were stopped. There was a line there that we weren't allowed by. And they let us frolic and play in the shallow end and enjoy it. And then we would see other people a little further out or in the deep end swimming. And we go, look at that. And they go, you could do that too. Now, you don't have to leave the shallow end. You just try to do this stroke. And this is how you do it. And so they would teach a stroke. And, you know, You would start when you're first learning, and you'd spit out the salt water or the water in the pool. But eventually, you actually were able to keep your head above water. You weren't really good at it, but you were able to keep your head above water, and you made your way. Look, I swam a whole 3 feet. Well, that's fantastic. The teacher was all excited about that. But eventually, as you're practicing in the shallow end, you learn to get actually good. You go from 3 feet to 5 feet to 10 feet. Soon, you can go back and forth across the shallow end of the pool. And then you notice there's other kids in the deep end, and you think, you know what, if I could just do my stroke better, I could go in the deep end. And so then you choose a stroke that you just seem comfortable with. Some people like the side stroke, some the front crawl, the back crawl, some people like breaststroke, whatever it is, you just, for some reason, you feel comfortable doing that where your friend might prefer a different stroke. And so then you start to get good at it, and then there comes the day when you go under the buoys into the deep end of the pool. And you start to swim. Now, you darn near drown, but you get to the side. And you keep practicing and practicing, and soon you get your badge. And then you get the next badge, and you get the next badge, and you get the next badge. I wouldn't trust me, but I am a registered lifeguard. Because some I might let drown, and others I might drown trying to help you. That was a few years ago, but I got to the point I could be a lifeguard. I passed the National Lifeguard. In fact, everybody in our family, every one of us, Crystal, myself, Crystal, all three of my boys, all have passed the National Lifeguard and taught. Got better and better and better. That's what it's like with spiritual gifts. Well, I don't know what gift I have, or I'm new here. I don't know what to do. Well, get in the shallow end. I love what Andrea said. Hey, join us in the, what's this called again? Love, serve, and give in York Region. And I guess if you're from Durham, you can do it too, right? Join her. Join us as we do that. Or usher and greeter. At the door, welcome new people. The best usher and greeters are new people. Because you don't know anybody, so you introduce yourself to everybody. Or here's one. One of the best places for people to get involved that are new is our pre-service prayer meeting. So we have it online and we have it in person. And you come for about a half hour, and you pray for the service. I cannot tell you how much I value that. What a great place to get connected. You can go, you can listen and be part of the prayer, or you can every once in a while pray. It's an unbelievable place to get connected. You get to meet people, you get to pray with them, you get to support the service. It's a ministry. It's not just, oh, we do prayer. It's a ministry on behalf of all the people sitting here. And some of you could easily do that. So get in the shallow end. Start serving somewhere, doing something. What will happen is eventually you'll just notice there are some strokes you like doing better than others. There's some things you just seem natural at, you like to do. Maybe you're looking and go, I really actually love working with kids. I love being with them and helping them learn one-on-one. Whereas somebody else will say, I love being with them. I love teaching them from a classroom. I love working with administration. I love helping organize things. It just really feels fulfilling for me. Because you're learning that gift that's just bedded in you by the Spirit. And as you do it more in the shallow end, where it's safe, you're doing it better and better and better till eventually God will give you an opportunity to go under the rope and get in the deep end, where you will use your gift in a more responsible and bigger way. And you're going to have to get better at it. And the more you function at it, and the more you use it, and the more you develop it, then the better you get at it, and the more breadth God has in you to use to impact other people. So, if you're serving, kudos to you. If you're not, maybe this is the time to take a step and say, I'm going to jump in the shallow end. And over the next months and years, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to ask God to direct me and show me how do I serve him by serving his body. And use this gift that he has given me to invest in eternity. You will not be disappointed if you have the courage to step out and the patience and perseverance to develop it. It will begin to make you weep. Jesus, all of us, that's a great gift that all of us have a gift. There's so many different obstacles that stop us and hold us back, and we go, we got a reason not to do this. Help us to obey you. To seek to discover the gift and use it so that we can honor and please and glorify you in Jesus' name.